Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry that's here to encourage and inspire you every day. Well, today we're starting a series called Awesome Relationships. In this series, Rick Warren shares practical ways to help you take your relationship with family, friends, coworkers, and even God from ordinary to extraordinary. This is a series you won't want to miss. Hey, let's jump right in with part one of a message called Fighting for an Awesome Marriage.
This weekend, I want us to look at fighting for an awesome marriage. Take out your notes and look at the verse at the top. Paul says this. Now, Paul was not married. Paul was a single adult. And St. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 7:7. We're all given different gifts. God gives the gift of marriage to some, and to others, he gives the gift of singleness. So not everybody's supposed to be married. God says in his word that we get different gifts from him. Some he gives the gift of marriage, and some he gives the gift of singleness. Old translations call it the gift of celibacy. Everybody knows what it is. It's singleness. Now, how do you know if you have the gift of singleness? I know you're waiting with bated breath for this. And here's the way. If you have any desire to get married someday, you don't have this gift. That's the telltale sign. Okay? If you say, you know, really, I'd like to be married someday. I'd like to have a wife. I'd like to have a husband. Then you don't have the gift of singleness. The gift of singleness, when God gives it, means I'm perfectly happy to live the rest of my life not married. That's the gift of singleness. Now, whether you have never been married, or you're divorced, or you're separated, or you're widowed, or you are currently married, regardless of what state you're in, the next verse applies to all of us. Look at this verse. Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored, read it with me, by everyone. Circle that, by everyone. So regardless of whether I ever marry or not, or whether I've been married in the past and I'm not now, I am to honor marriage. The Bible says, by God, everyone is to give honor to marriage. Now, sadly, marriage is no longer honored by everyone in our society. In fact, just the exact opposite. Today, marriage is dismissed as irrelevant by many people, as an archaic thing. Who needs to get married? That's something somebody made in another generation or in another culture, a man-made lifestyle choice, and really it's dismissed. Nobody needs to get married today. It's demeaned by many people. Marriage is demeaned as a career buster. You're getting married? Well, there goes your career. It's down the pike. It's down the tube. Marriage is delayed. People are delaying marriage more and more, many times for the wrong reasons. Now, there are good reasons for delaying marriage, but there are also selfish reasons for delaying marriage. Marriage is being redefined. It's being ridiculed. It's being demeaned. It's being denounced. It's being discouraged. Marriage is disrespected. We don't live in a culture where marriage is honored by everyone anymore. And even Christians fall for this trap. And part of the problem is nobody knows the basics of marriage anymore. 50 years ago, if I were to go out on the street and say, tell me the purposes of marriage, they could give you the 5 or 6 purposes of marriage. Nobody knows these today. And so marriage is treated like just one more little lifestyle choice. It is not. It's far more important than you realize whether you ever get married yourself or not. And it's absolutely essential. God gave it to us, marriage, for 6 reasons. Most people don't know why marriage matters. In fact, most people either A, have an incredibly unrealistic view of marriage, which there's no way anybody could measure up to it, or 2, they're just flat out wrong about the meaning and the purpose and the design of marriage. Most people don't get it right. Now, the reality is, marriage won't solve all your problems. Let me correct that. Marriage won't solve any of your problems. Anybody married want to give a testimony right now? Okay. Now, a lot of people think marriage creates problems. I didn't have problems till I got married. Oh, no, no, no. That's wrong, too. Marriage doesn't solve your problems. Marriage doesn't create your problems. Marriage reveals problems. It reveals problems. If I'm cranky, my marriage is going to reveal it. If I'm a perfectionist, my marriage is going to reveal it. If I'm fearful and insecure and a worrywart, my marriage is going to reveal it. If I'm bitter and angry and controlling and manipulative, my marriage is going to reveal it. Marriage don't create problems. Marriage reveal them. They just show up in marriages like in no other relationship. I've got friends who've gone through multiple relationships, and some have been in multiple marriages, and sometimes I'm counseling somebody and I say, I don't understand. I've been married multiple times. My relationships just suck. And I want to say, well, what do you think's the common denominator? You are. You know what the problem with my marriage is? Me. You know what the problem with your marriage is? You. And so we bring problems into marriage, and marriage simply magnifies what's already a problem that maybe it's masked when I'm living as a single adult. So marriage isn't going to solve all your problems. It reveals them. Marriage will not turn your life into a picnic. Marriage will not balance the harmonic convergence of the universe. There are a lot of things marriage can't do. But it does have a God-designed function. It does have a God-designed form, and it is far more important. Marriage is far more important than you realize. Now, I can't go into these six reasons in detail, but I want you to just list these before we get into how do you fight for an awesome marriage. I want you to know the six reasons why marriage matters, this brief overview, because you need to be able to explain it to other people, because nobody around you, nobody in culture, nobody you know getting married or getting divorced knows all six of these. They just don't think about them. So let's look why God designed marriage. Number one, write these down. First, God created marriage for the connection of men and women. God created marriage for the connection of men and women. Now, I want to show you a verse up on the screen in just a second. 1 Corinthians 11:11 says this on the screen. In God's plan, men and women need each other. Do you know how radical a statement that is today? A lot of people don't believe that. There are a lot of people say, women, they don't need men. Why would I need a man? And a lot of men say, why would I need a woman? Well, you do. And the God who designed you, created, whether you ever get married or not, if you're a woman, you need men in your life. If you're a man, you need women in your life. Why? Because nobody holds the full image of God. Women get part of it, men get part of it, and we need each other. God wired it this way. God thought up gender. God thought up sex. What a God. And God thought up marriage. He thought it all up. It was his idea. It wasn't some man-made construct. Now, the Bible goes back to the very beginning in the creation of the first couple and the first marriage. And in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says God creates Adam, and he doesn't make Eve yet. Why did God make man and then woman a little bit later? Why didn't he make them both at the same time? Because obviously he had every intention. I think he did it for Adam's benefit. I think he wanted Adam to realize how much he needed women in his life. Now, the Bible says this in Genesis 2:18. It is not good, this is God talking, it is not good for the man, that's Adam, to be alone. I will make a companion who is right for him. I'll make a companion who is right for him. I will make, now notice, the first thing you need to realize is marriage, gender, sex, men and women, all the differences, this is a God-given thing. And God intended marriage, one of the purposes of marriage, is as an antidote to loneliness. Look at the next verse. He says there, it is not good for men to be alone. Now, there are many, he says, I'm going to make a companion. And many companions are important in life. You need companions in all your areas. But there's nothing like the companionship of a marriage. You can talk to any married couple, and they will tell you, yes, there are many other kinds of relationships, and they're all good in life, but nothing at all compares to the companionship of a man and a woman who are committed to each other for the rest of their lives. There's no other relationship that could possibly compare. That is in a relational class by itself. And God calls that marriage. Now, here's what Jesus had to say about it, Mark 10. God's plan has been seen from the beginning of creation. When he made us, male and female, God made males, God made females. And God chose what he wanted you to be. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united as one body. Now, since they are no longer two, but one, God sees a married couple as one. No one should separate them, for God has joined them together. Now, this is a very important passage of Scripture, and I could spend a lot of time on it. Let me just make 3 points at it. That passage says three things. Number one, marriage is God's plan. It's not a human plan. It's not a human idea. It's not a tradition that we can just throw out. God invented marriage when he invented you, when he invented me, when he invented humanity. Marriage is God's plan. Second thing that verse says is that marriage is between a man and a woman. There are a lot of other relationships, but those aren't marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And their body parts fit together, and they fit together for a purpose. The creation of everybody else. And the third thing it says is marriage is to be permanent. It says what God joins together, God joins a couple in marriage. No one else should separate. It's meant to be permanent, meant to be life. Do you realize how radical those three statements are? That marriage is God's idea and plan, that marriage is for a man and a woman, and that marriage is to be permanent. Nobody believes that anymore, but it's still the truth. It's still the truth. It's still the way God designed marriage. And just because we live in the real, not necessarily the ideal, doesn't mean we get to say the ideal doesn't exist. It does. It does. Now, as a pastor, I have done, I don't know how many thousands of weddings. I couldn't count how many weddings I've done. One of the things I like about the modern wedding is that people are writing their vows now. I think that's good in one sense, because it's better than just saying, I do. I mean, when people write their own vows, they tend to express more of themselves, and you get to hear their love for the other person. And that's a good thing. But there's also a downside of people writing their own vows today, and it's this. They're leaving out God. I can't tell you how many vows I've heard that are really more like a junior high social contract. I will love you as long as the sun shines. Well, what happens when it rains tomorrow? Okay? You get a divorce then? I will love you because you make me feel so great. Well, what happens when they get in the hospital and they can't make you feel great? Do you divorce them then? I love you because you're so beautiful. What? I hate to tell you this. She's going to lose her beauty. And you already have. Okay? That's I love you if. I love you if. That's conditional love. That's not a love that makes a marriage last. So a lot of contracts today in marriage really sound like a, 36-month lease for an auto. It's like, I love you as long as we both shall love. Really? I love you till debt do us part, or divorce do us part. They're leaving out God. The first thing about marriage is that God created it, and he created it for the connection of a man and a woman for life. Number two, God created marriage for the multiplication of the human race. For the multiplication of the human race. It's how we all got here. You are sitting where you're sitting, and you are listening online where you're listening online, because a couple got together and made you. And this was God's idea. God populated the human planet through marriage. For thousands of years, billions of people have come on into existence because men and women got married. And God says, this is part of my plan. Now, let me give you a little background on this. The Bible says that God is love. We've talked about this many times. That's his character. It's his nature. The only reason there's love in the universe is because God is love. If God was not a loving God, you would not have any love in your life. There would be no love in the universe. The only reason you are able to love is because you, as a man or woman, were created in God's image. Squirrels don't love because they're not made in God's image. Worms don't love because they're not made in God's image. Ants don't love because they're not made in God's image. But men and women have the capacity to love because we're made in God's image. And God said, I want to love and I want to express my love. And the Bible says everything that God has made, he made it simply in order to love it. You were made in order for God to love you. That's why you exist. If God didn't want to love you, you wouldn't exist. Everything in the universe, God made to love it. And the Bible says that God created the universe because he wanted a family to love. So he created the universe so he could create the human race, so he could love us, knowing that some of us would choose to love him back, and then we would live with him forever and ever in his eternal family in heaven. Now think about this. God chose everybody who's going to be in heaven to come into existence through marriage and sex. That's the way he chose. Nobody would be in heaven if God hadn't created marriage. Because everybody's come into existence through the tool that he designed. Now, let me show you some verses. Genesis 1:27 says this. For God created people in his own image. He patterned them after himself, creating both male and female with his image. Then, so not every, males don't have all the image of God. Females, we both get parts of God's image. Then God blessed them and commanded them. Now, here's the very first command God gives to the human race. I want you to read it aloud with great gusto. Ready? Here we go. God commanded them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Wow. So God's first command to the human race is get married and have sex. That, by the way, friends, is the only command of God the human race has been able to keep. And we've done a pretty good job at that one. There are about 7 billion of us on the planet because your parents and their parents and their parents and their parents and their parents were fruitful and multiplied and filled the land, filled the world. So we're all here. The point is that God says, one of the purposes of marriage is for the multiplication of the human race. It's not the only purpose, but it's a big one. Look at this next verse, Malachi 2:15. I love this in the Message paraphrase. God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And why does he, God, what does God want from marriage? He's real clear. Godly children from your union. Because if people don't have kids, those kids aren't going to be born. They can't get into heaven. He wants godly children from your union. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. Now, this is not an indictment for a childless couple. Couples who don't have kids. There are couples who want kids and for whatever reason cannot have them or have been unable to have them. And if you're married and you can't have kids, God is not disappointed in you. That's not what this verse is saying. What it is saying is that we're all alive because some couple got together. And for thousands of years, God has used marriage to populate heaven.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick today. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
Let me ask you a very personal question. Are you struggling in one of your personal relationships?
If you are, I want you to listen to what Joe writes. He just sent this note to me. He said, Pastor Rick, before my wife and I began listening to Daily Hope together, we'd argue about our faith. There'd be days that I'd be angry with my wife, thinking that she wasn't moving as fast in her walk as I thought she should be moving. And God really challenged me to trust him in helping her grow by changing me first. You got it. You got it, Joe. He says, he broke my heart and my attitude by allowing me to figure out what I needed to do to stop arguing with her. And then he added, God also challenged me by showing me how much he believed in me through my wife. When I'd get angry, she'd show me grace and patience. These are the very things that I lacked, but I didn't see it until after we started listening to Daily Hope on a regular basis. We've since made it a point to share this time in God's Word and to continue to grow in our love for Jesus and each other. Isn't it amazing what God can do even in the most difficult of circumstances and even in relationships that seem beyond repair? I want you to notice that in Joe's story, God started the transformation with Joe. Joe wanted to change his wife, and Joe wanted God to change his wife. But God wanted Joe to change first in his own life. That's the way God works. I'm so glad that God is using Daily Hope to change lives. And if he's changed your life, would you tell me about it? Please just write me, email me, rick@pastorrick.com. Please do that today. Just email me a note that says, here's what's happening in my life. Here's what I need you to pray about. Here's something I'm rejoicing with. If you've got something to share, let me know about it. Write me, rick@pastorrick.com. And thanks for listening today. And all this week, let's let God transform our lives through his word.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.